Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon here on this Halloween afternoon. Shay, how are you doing today?
Wait, is that why you're dressed in a Spurs jersey?
Yes. One of their questions is, what are we dressing up as for Halloween? And so I was just going to be like, Any guesses as to who the player is?
That jersey looks kind of new.
Has an
older logo.
Got Adidas on it.
Oh, Adidas is not the, sorry that everyone who's watching on YouTube it's doesn't know the current sponsor of the third worst team in the NBA. As we do each year when NBA begins, we'll bring you a weekly standings for Matthew's favorite team. They've won one game. They didn't win last night, which is why I figured he was wearing that jersey.
The Thunder are a good team.
There, yeah, sure. And so are the Rockets, who are the only team that they've beaten and then turned around and lost to two nights later. So
yes, they did.
One win is, hey, are you tanking already?
Tanking for Cooper Flag, man.
Tanking for Cooper Flag.
It's a Manu Ginobili jersey.
There you go, Manu. I love Manu. How did the Chet Wimby matchup go?
Not great. Not great. The Thunder are a lot better than us, so it was not fun, but that's all right.
Chet double-double, easy cash.
Yeah, Chet's good. Chet is
there
good.
There you go. Well, there's your weekly San Antonio Spurs update presented by Maddie B on Halloween. This is 1-3 Spurs. Because of that, as you can see, he lives in the past. He is still wearing his...
Don't worry.
His old school. We're going to get a Duncan jersey next week. We're going to get...
Everything here.
Oh, look at that.
There the hat from like my grandpa's hat from like the 90s. Everything. Just all of it.
Well, with the beard, you should dye it and go Coach Pop this week.
Honestly. You're not. You know? Get a little bald, or not a bald cap, but like a thinning cap. Yeah. Go all the way. All the way. That's a Halloween update for y'all. There you go.
If anyone's got any Halloween costumes, drop them on the board or here in the comments.
We got to start a thread. That's what we need to do. We definitely need to start a thread for Halloween costumes on the board.
I'm starting it right now.
Yeah, just to see what people are going to be. That's a good idea. Look at us talking out some good ideas. But yeah, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Bengal Tiger on 3. Just constant everything to read about. I mean, I know Shay's has all the Bryce Underwood scoops out there right now, keeping him busy in this bye week. Basketball started up, so I got all my stuff up. You know, obviously there's a ton of football content going up as well. So subscribe to the Bengal Tiger on 3 if you have not already. I'm going to assume we're still running the promo of $1 for a week and then 50% off the year. So subscribe if you have not already. We appreciate it. And once Shay is done with this board post, we can get into the mailbag, which I did leave open for 2 hours yesterday from 7:30 to 9:30. So I cannot be held responsible for how short this mailbag is. We only have like 14 replies, which is by far like half as much as we usually have. But I think people maybe on a Wednesday night with the bye week thought nothing was going on, and I just threw it up there. So there it is. There it is.
Oh, man. All right. It's up. Okay. The very first question, and again, this is from the Bengal Tiger subscribers only, was Michigo 72. He said, can we get an advent calendar that is a Bryce Underwood tidbit each day until signing day? Right now, we're pacing towards it. So there was news this week of Michigan ramping up their NIL efforts and last-ditch effort to keep Bryce home. I have posted tidbits each day on where things stand from the LSU end. You can get all of it for $1. Go to thebengaltiger.com, go to On3 LSU, find the Bengal Tiger, however you do it, $1 to sign up. And then it's less than $5 a month for the year. You support Matthew and I and Billy and Julie and Jarrett and Tyler. You support the site, but I love our board. We've got some great fans, top to bottom. And I know we get into it at times, but it's a good group of LSU fans, and you get nonstop scoop. Matty B has been dropping stuff, his predictions for the next basketball commits on the women's side, which is heating up. Basketball season is starting. Matty B has been in the PMAC each night. And again, as I said, the board has been popping with Underwood news, everything moving towards signing day in a month. Look, if even you... Hoko, one of our most popular posters slash trolls, came today and shared the story of his brother, Sid, who LSU fans will remember, who passed away, gosh, nearly a decade ago now. But Tom Rinaldi did that great piece on him and was a massive LSU fan in enemy territory over there in Alabama. So we've got a little bit of it all for $1. So
yeah,
if you're an LSU fan and you're not on the board yet, do so. If you are, if you're on the site and you like it, tell your friends about it. $1.
It might be the best 7-day stretch for a dollar you can get here between the Bryce Underwood, the basketball, the football, playing Alabama. If you do it now for 7 days, you get a ton. And then
football playing Alabama. I guess that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. So we got a little
Halloween, Bryce Underwood, and yes, some football, Alabama. Okay. So most of them, we usually do only recruiting. Most of these are Bryce Underwood, which is why you need to be on the board. We will have a recruiting pod tomorrow. I'll break it down with Billy. But Soko asked, how many are
Never know how to say it. I will hope he tells us how to say it. But
Sokotoa,
something like that, yeah.
How many calm down articles do you think I'll have to write from now until early signing period? Well, that's a month away, a month and a few days. So 34 days, 33 days, 33 of them is what I'll say.
A lot.
One every day of a calm down article as LSU attempts to hold on to this top five, a very impressive recruiting class that they've got. And I've got some scoop up on the site right now of where the coaches are today and tomorrow, seeing some five stars. So very notable stuff as LSU gets ready for Bama in a week's time and makes use of the bye week. Maddie B, what they did was the same thing as the first bye week. Practice for a few days, hit the road, come back on the weekend, take some time off. So I'll really get ready for Bama. But Run Hamburger, the name fits. Give me your best burger in Baton Rouge. Maddie B, do you have one yet?
The first one I thought of was Burger IM, who I think has a really good burger down Perkins. This is off the top of my head. I'm trying to think. I'm definitely forgetting something. But like that's the first one I thought of. I don't go there a ton, but I go there enough to where it's pretty good. That's pretty good. So
I'll go anti-chain, not chain, even though there is multiple locations. Superior Mexican's burger. Unbelievable. For those that have not, for those that have tried it are agreeing with me right now. If you have not tried it, do it next time. I know it's a Mexican restaurant. Their burger is legit. So that gets my vote. But he did say, any word on how Harold Perkins is doing and is he around the team right now? We saw LSU share a video of him being in the locker room, stuff like that. Health-wise, I think he's obviously in the very early stages of recovery. The big thing we're watching for is, does he go to the draft? And that really hinges on how ready, right, he is physically for the draft. Because, yes, guys have gone into the NFL draft before injured and not being able to do the combine or workouts, but hoping to get drafted off of the player they are and knowing they'll be healthy come the season. We'll see what Harold decides, but nothing new there really. Honestly, I have not heard any buzz. I think everything's just sort of focused on next game up and moving forward.
Yeah. And like you said, figuring out how to stop the quarterbacks that they have on their schedule coming up, with the Jalen Milroe and with all these quarterbacks that are going to be running and the run games in particular, Vanderbilt, Florida, and so on. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they defend the run. I still think, you know, it is a question mark for this defense moving forward. I would love to have Harold Perkins on the field, despite what everybody says about how this defense is way better without him. I would still love to have him on the field and have his speed and athleticism and him figuring out and learning and just making plays. So especially with this back half of the schedule, I think it would be really nice. But, you know, that's the situation they're in, so we'll see how they prepare.
And they've played better every week. Not since Harold's injury specifically, but they have, as a defense, collectively continue to get better, which is great to see, because I did not think Matty B, with five new on-field coaches, a new coordinator, and all of the same pieces you had a year ago, minus guys like Swinson, who's your best player at the moment, not even starting a year ago, and now being this disruptive, this coaching staff, and I'm not knocking the players here. Anyone can tell you the players are not what LSU normally has on defense. Their ability to get what they've gotten out of them, to me, is the storyline of this season.
For sure.
Because we point to an offense that struggles to run the football, where Nuss throws a bunch of picks at A&M. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the defense gives up these short field touchdowns to a new quarterback coming in. Look, they have performed. The offense has so much more talent than the defense. For the offense to be the one stumbling, yeah, makes the defense the storyline for me.
Yeah, the defense.
Little side note on the Perkins discussion.
Yeah, no, I think the defense is going to be fine. Like, I don't look at the 31 points they allowed in the second half and be like, oh, well, and they had a good run. You know, it's over. Alabama, and Alabama might score some points, but I don't think we're going to see that performance again. I don't think we see that level of, just being uncomfortable and seemingly unprepared the way that they were. So I think for Marcel Reed in particular. So I think they'll be all right moving forward. And I think that the offense will also have a little bit of an easier time not having to face South Carolina, Ole Miss, and A&M's defensive front moving forward.
A&M's defensive front is so good.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And the other thing, I'm not getting back into the A&M game, but pretty hard to switch quarterbacks and tell the guys on the sidelines, here's what we're doing, when you've got like 1 minute to do it before they throw another pick. And it's like, hey, go back out there now. Okay, you turn it over. Oh, go back out there now. Oh, we punted. Go back out there now. It was kind of like the worst of everything coming together at one time. But moving on, look, LSU has one SEC loss going into November. They're alive in this playoff race that is maddening. People are calling it the wildest thing since 2007. Everyone remembers what happens in 2007. LSU somehow, with Ohio State, gets into the Natty with three losses and wins in New Orleans. So we'll see if 2000 magic comes back again. But Hunter Fournette asked, better chance of happening, which one? Jaden Daniels contends for NFL MVP year over year, while Caleb Williams, the number one pick, is labeled a bust, or that JD5 is a top 10 quarterback along with Caleb Williams. I think this one's an easy call for me.
Yeah, I think the second option.
It's the second option.
Yeah, the second
one. And here's why. The Bears aren't good. Okay, first off, now, I'm not saying the Commanders light the world on fire, and I'm not saying that Jaden's not better than Caleb. You need to start off by knowing this. There's like really good quarterbacks in the NFL. There's 15, 16 that you'd be like, yeah, okay, like he's solid. You can watch, I do. I watch NFL every Sunday. Anyone who does, Tyler Huntley and guys like that start on Sundays. Guys get injured. Like it is so hard to be good in that league. So for what Jaden's already done is impressive. Caleb, from high school to college, there was no sign that he was ever a bad quarterback. Now, look, he's having his adjustments to becoming an NFL player here again. Give him time. I will take my long – if anyone's selling their Caleb Williams stock for free, I'll take it.
Yeah, I definitely think both becoming top 10 quarterbacks, honestly, it feels more likely than not of it happening. So I will take that all day. It's pretty nice for LSU to have Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels right now in the NFL. I mean, and lighting it on fire. I mean, that's two out of 32 starting quarterbacks, and that's two of the top. I mean, this year it's two of the top at least eight quarterbacks in the NFL right now in Jaden and Joe. So Jaden had his awesome moment with the Hail Mary touchdown.
Against Caleb, obviously.
Yeah, don't know what Tyreek Stevenson and the Bears were doing there, but we take it.
They were pumping up the crowd.
Yeah, they were doing something.
If anyone missed it, go Google Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. It was a wild. They've got some other angles, as Matty B said, of the play where the Bears' deep safety is just turned around, pumping up the crowd while the snap is being handled, and it was not, and they catch it and lose.
It's incredible.
Capital City asked, what are we dressing up for as Halloween? You knocked that one out. I'm undecided. I did. Emily had to dress up for work. I suggested Wednesday Addams. She nailed it. And she actually owned everything that already goes with a very simple outfit.
That's key so right there.
That one worked. TBD on me. I always default to an Indiana Jones, I think. So if I do anything tonight, that would be it. But no plans. And then he said, when do y'all want to go grab drinks? So I did see Capital City in the Wild once in Perkins Row at Ben 77. So Maddie B, he's around us. He lives in our area. I think we owe it to him that the three of us will meet up here soon and hang out and chop it up.
Ben 77.
It doesn't have to be there. It can be anywhere. DeBoot asked, any possibility that DJ Pickett, that's LSU's five-star commit, could play both sides of the ball, a.k.a. Travis Hunter? No, they won't do that to him. Here's the reality. He could step in here and start day one. I'm just telling you. You're getting back into the Stingley Fulton days of the expectation is you come in and you start day one. And that is what Pickett is. And I'm telling you, this 1-2-3 class at corner, Cade Phillips might start next year. Aiden Anning's a great player. Like, this corner room is getting a lot better if they hold on to these guys.
Wait, real quick. Zai is done, right? After this year? Yeah, Zai is done.
He's been injured and been transferred a lot. Yeah, so I'd imagine he's up in his years.
This is his, yeah, I'm looking at it now.
After so you'll have Ashton Stamps, you'll have Woodland, and I'm telling you, someone they like is Michael Turner. And we saw him get in at the end of a game, but we knew that moving from receiver at John Curtis to corner in the SEC would take a while. So that transition's going well.
Yeah, yeah. The point is, like, if they did have Zai, I was saying, like, if they did have Zai back, then it'd be like, okay, you pencil him in as one and figure out two. Without him, I mean, as much as we like Stamps and Woodland and those two, they're still going to have to compete next year.
Yeah, and Stamps will have a ton of experience by this point. I mean, he's well over 300 snaps. Like, he's played more snaps on defense than any other player on defense. So that's good. You get the reps. He'll be back out there. And we've already seen development with that group, which is great to see. He said BK's chief of staff stepped down. What does it mean for LSU football and Beth Rex? This was something that I believe was coming. She had been with him at Cincinnati, at Notre Dame. Now here, gave him a couple years, and I wouldn't be surprised if they move back up to the Midwest. And I don't think there's anything more to it than that. You've got Austin Thomas in the building. Preston Tiffany obviously is the head of the personnel side of recruiting, and a long list of guys that do recruiting and women who do recruiting. And then you've got Frank and those guys. So I don't look too much into that one at all. And any update on Derek Meadows? I will have an update for Derek Meadows. He's an LSU commit that's being recruited by Notre Dame, a receiver on the board for Friday. Derek and I are supposed to catch up today. So I will get y'all more then. Maddie B, real quick, I wanted to do a My Perfect Franchise shout out because Andy Ludicky continues to help folks out. Y'all know him from the mailbag each week, but he owns My Perfect Franchise. He has been in the business, whether it is a franchise owner or consultant, for decades now, and he has shifted largely to becoming a consultant. And what Andy's done is helped everyone from side hustles to full-time jobs to kids getting out of college and not knowing kind of what direction they want to go and not realizing, hey, getting into a franchise or becoming a franchise owner is something that's out there and available for you. And the reason we've hooked up with Andy and now I've stayed with him for a couple of years is that for the Bengal Tiger members, everything's free. For to call him, free service is free. His number is 404-973-9901. That's 404-973-9901, or email him Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net. That's A-N-D-Y at myperfectfranchise.net. You can see the email, the number, the site, all that here at the bottom of the YouTube or on the board. But what Andy does is walks everyone through any question they might have. And a number of people, someone told me last week that they gave Andy a call and just wanted to pick his brain and didn't have any real knowledge of the franchise, you know, becoming a franchise owner or what it would take time-wise or skill set-wise or money-wise. And They said it was incredibly educational. Now they're moving forward and talking to him again this next week to see if something might be right for them. So if you're trying to find a side hustle, if you're trying to switch jobs, if you're just looking around, you're retired, it doesn't matter. He said he gets calls from everybody. So give Andy a shout at My Perfect Franchise. Matty B, I'll let you take this one. Mike the Tiger wants you to speculate, at least, on the lack of run game. And we've had this asked before, but is it scheme? Is it personnel? Is it execution related? And if it is personnel, is there some reason to believe you can rectify that in one cycle? And I guess what he really means is not recruiting, but, you know, can it be changed here on the back end of the season?
Oh, yeah. I think there is, again, I
typically... And if he does mean recruiting-wise, yes, you can address that personnel-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Typically in these conversations, I lean towards personnel, like just in general. Like last year, I did lean personnel with the defense, whether that was right or wrong. I was just like, yeah, they don't have players. Now we see obviously what coaching can do. I do think the personnel on this offensive line is flawed in terms of the running ability. I think Will Campbell is by far their best player. But even him as a run blocker has been, you know, kind of hit or miss at times. But Dellinger's injury does not help. I think DJ Chester is just taking a bunch of lumps, which you hope he learns from, which he will.
We knew. I said this before the season. This comes with the territory of a center who is starting for the first time. His lumps come on the road in very tough environments where it's so loud that you're just trying to hear the call. And anything you hear, you're like, I don't want to ep this up for us, yeah. So I'm going to snap it right now because I thought I heard something going.
Yeah.
Let alone now when the D-line's allowed to shift and do everything else in the world.
Yeah. So again, from the pre-snap stuff to the actual blocking, I think Chester will learn from this. But in this season, I think him, Frazier, like the whole line, Emory Jones, I think have all struggled to get to their blocks, get to their reach blocks, like all the different scheme stuff that they're doing. I've seen too many times where the defender's been able to get a clean break on the running back here. Like Caden Durham, outside of a couple runs against A&M, was just stuffed like repeatedly. Yeah. So I do think it's personnel. Clearly there is some scheme to it. Clearly there's a factor of Nussmeier not being able to run to it. Like I think these are all play hand in hand here.
Well, yeah, they're running RPOs, and if he's never going to keep it, they're crashing every time and just, you know.
Exactly. So there's a lot that goes into it. Sure, it would help to have Jaden Daniels, clearly. Like, the last 2 years, I think Jaden Daniels
of course.
But the reason why they've been able to have an explosive running game at all. But and without him, I think Joe Sloan and this staff are trying to figure out now, how do we create this with the running back position?
Let me ask you this, and this in part plays into what happens a year from now. What do you think at the very base level of running the football in the SEC, what is the most important thing, attribute maybe, that you need to put forward, that you need to have?
You mean for an offensive line, or you mean
for an offensive line?
The most important attribute an offensive line can have in the SEC with the run blocking, I mean – I would say partially.
This is a trait I'm talking about.
Okay. I think generally you look at the offenses, and I would say, like, I don't know exactly what trait it would be. So you might have to help me there. But I would think from a rating, like high, like build standpoint, I just think they need to be stronger and more of like a.
You can stop right there.
Go ahead.
Physicality.
Yeah. Physicality.
Isn't that it? Being stronger, being physical at the point of attack, pushing a guy back.
Yeah.
I think they lack that right now. I don't think they have that in the offensive line. I think they've got elite pass pro, and I don't think they're physical enough on the inside.
100%.
So can that be rectified in a cycle? I love their young guys. Like, I love Weston Davis. I love Tyree Adams. Like, these guys are going to be really good football players. I'm not going to be shocked when they go to the portal and try to grab an offensive guard. And I want to see who that other offensive guard next year that steps up is, because they need physicality on the inside to be able to run the football.
Yeah.
And that's, I didn't sit through all 22 and watch it. I asked people who know what they're talking about, who are involved with this team, and that's what they say. It's physicality.
Yeah, I agree.
And when you go up against South Carolina, Ole Miss, A&M, those, if you're not physical, those D lines will whip you in the run game.
And again, can it be rectified this year? I don't have optimism going to the last four games that they're going to suddenly find a run game. I do think they're going to play worse defenses, which helps, like Vanderbilt, Florida, Alabama, all these. Oklahoma is probably the best of the group, I'd say, but like they're not like dominant front, so they should be able to find some running success like they did against Arkansas. So, you know, it could get better, but against these top teams, like they're going to struggle to run the ball. So that's just kind of how it is. And then, like, if we look at the offseason, like they're going to have a major turnover on the offensive line. So we'll see what they do there.
And we kind of have a similar question here from LSU Lawyer. Who do y'all see coming back out of the draft eligible juniors? I think this conversation, Maddie B, largely hinges on offense, right? The O-line and the quarterback. Does Nuss come back? Does any of the four O-linemen? Well, I don't know if Miles Frazier has eligibility.
Frazier, but, and is Dellinger eligible? Or Dellinger?
I think he still might be, right?
Dellinger is a what, redshirt junior?
Yeah, right.
I think I'm right.
No, he's a senior. But let's see.
Fourth.
23, 22, 21 was his freshman year.
Okay, yeah, so he's done.
Done.
Wow. Yeah, see, COVID years are gone, so now it's like 4 years is 4 years now.
Yeah, so your two tackles are both draft-eligible juniors. There's the presumption they go pro. Will Campbell and Emory Jones.
Will's gone. Emory, I think they're going to have a good pitch to see, at least try to convince him to come back.
Okay. I can get into that. Mason Taylor.
Gone.
Okay. Garrett Nussmeier. That is the one I think everybody watches. He still has not had double-digit college starts.
Yes.
Let me remind you, his father has been an NFL quarterbacks coach, both currently for Jalen Hurts and basically the past 20 years. No one will have a better grip on if you're ready or not to make an NFL roster and stay on one than his father. I think this becomes a very educated decision. And let me rewind. LSU fans hated, and I called him out for it at the time, hated on Garrett Nussmeier when his dad said the best thing for you is to not play in that bowl game. That was the final year that if you played in a bowl game, it burned a red shirt.
Thank God.
And LSU had to run Jontre Kirkland out at quarterback, and they were going to get whipped by Kansas State regardless.
Yeah.
But the decision by his dad to not play in that game now allows you to get a whole extra year with Garrett next year. Had he played in that game, Garrett would be playing in his final LSU football games right now, and he still has not started double-digit games.
If he had played in that game, he would have and should have transferred, like, once Jaden Daniels came back, basically.
Correct.
Like last
year, you would have had less time.
Yeah, you would have had – you have to get – like, okay, so – how do I phrase this? I've – been on this podcast and I've been saying like Garrett Nussmeier is whatever, top five quarterback, all this stuff, like could go pro, all everything like that. I think he could, if he wants to, by the end of the year, go pro and be a first round draft pick. I think he's going to end up having a good enough year and good enough tape. And in a quarterback class that I don't think is very strong, I think he is could be a first round draft pick. Now that we've gotten that out the way and everybody sees how good Nussmeier is, like the arm talent and stuff like that, I don't have to campaign for that anymore. The question now becomes, should he go? And I think there have been a lot of good points, especially with the Anthony Richardson benching in Indianapolis recently, that the NFL and their development of quarterbacks. Yeah,
Bryce Young.
Like the development of quarterbacks in the NFL is a major, major question. If you do not have more than 1 year of starting experience. Like it just is. And obviously Bryce had multiple years. Like there's the development in the NFL is not suited to build up young quarterbacks right now. And that is the major problem. And so when you're Garrett Nussmeier and you are Doug Nussmeier, like,
and you're take it back to that. Your father is Jalen Hurts' quarterbacks. Like your father was Dak's coach. Your father knows what it takes to be the starter or the second man, like to make the roster. So he's going to get good advice here on truly how far along he is versus how far he needs to go before he's ready.
And so this is where I've started to lean completely towards he should come back for another year. Now, yes. How hard is it going to be if he balls out the last four games, which I honestly think he's going to have a really good last four games because I don't think the defenses are great in these last four. And then it's a separate conversation. They make the playoff and let's say they win a game or two and he puts up good tape too. He could be like mocked in the top 10, top 15. Like that wouldn't shock me, but is it the right thing to do? No. Is it going to be very, very hard to say no at that point? Yes. So again, this is all hypothetical. I think in an ideal world, he comes back, he wins the Heisman next year, and he's a no doubt first round, number one pick, number two pick, whatever. But I think with this class, with the situation the NFL is in with quarterbacks, where they are just grabbing them at the first whim that they can get, I'm worried that he might just have to go as a top 10 pick, which, I mean, if he's a top 10 pick, I don't think you can turn that down.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Again, I think the only way that happens is if they make the playoffs and win some more games. And then all of a sudden he's skyrocketed up the board.
The last thing, sorry, on this topic of draft eligible juniors would be Harold Perkins, who...
Yeah, well, we said that. It's all about his injury, right?
Like, yeah. So
how far along are you to recovery versus what that weighs on your draft stock, which is an answer that he won't even know until he's further along in his recovery.
Yeah. I just wanted to address it before we moved on because people will probably ask us.
And Whit Weeks is only a sophomore, so don't worry. All's well. Yes. Bourbon and Cheerios, guys, love the show. Longtime listener, first-time caller, of course, as always. Any chance we see Emory Jones kick inside with Dellinger's injury? So Garrett Dellinger, LSU's guard, left the game. He's already missed one game. Brian Kelly said that he's got a week to recover, but if he does not play, the expectation is, at least from what we've seen, would be Palma Banga plays. I don't think that they move Emory because in large part. Because Tyree Adams is hurt.
Exactly.
I think Tyree Adams was your best option if you were doing this whole like, oh, we need a tackle, so we're going to kick Emory in. Now that Tyree's hurt, I don't think they're going to kick Emory in, put Weston Davis at right tackle for the first time ever, do that. Like, they'll put Mbenga in there is my guess based off what we've seen.
Yeah. Tyree Adams being hurt changes this question, because if he was healthy, I do think there's a chance. But also, they played Tyree Adams in fall camp. They played him at some guard. They tried him out there. He ran like first team guard sometimes at practice. So he is flexible enough to play either one. So I don't think they would have needed to move Jones inside if Adams was healthy. But now that Tyree Adams is hurt, I definitely don't think Jones moves inside. I think they just play Paul Mbenga and try to figure it out.
I'm with you. And we will see again on if Dellinger is able to miraculously come back and get healthy and play, or if it is Paul Mbenga, they go a different direction. We'll know more by next week's mailbag. We'll know more and we'll answer it in further detail. All right. If you're in the car with kids, we've got a Santa related question. So go ahead and press pause. I'll give you a few seconds. Give you 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Bourbon Cheerios. When did you find out Santa wasn't real? Maddie B, cover your ears too. Oh, damn it. I broke it to him. He didn't get you that Spurs jersey. That was your father and mother and their hard-earned money.
Oh, let me see if I have the picture of me getting it for Christmas. Hold on. I might have it.
I think I probably, I don't know. When do people find out? Fourth grade or something?
Yeah, like somewhere that? Around there.
I think whenever I started finding the closet where my parents put everything and then like putting it together. But you keep that secret to yourself and you ride that bad boy out. I'm still trying to get a gift that is my mother's handwriting, but says Santa on it, which still happens.
I have the Spurs one somewhere, but I have this one. I used to love getting some jerseys. I have, I got a Walter Payton jersey as a kid. This is how much of a sports fan I was and am, obviously, but oh, here I am. Getting a Walter Payton jersey for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
As a young child. So.
And that's the smirk on your face is knowing that you're a Spurs fan and you're going to hell in a handbasket after the Tim Duncan era ends. And you're going to be a lowly 10-win team each year.
Why I got a Walter Payton jersey, I don't fully know. I just
remember, you're a big fan?
At the time, I was watching like the NFL Network would air like their the top 100 players ever, and like
all you're these watching highlights. Some NFL films, weren't you?
Like
you're
I was, and this is I don't know how old I was here, 10, I think. And so I'm
you weren't that old then.
That's diving into 10 or 11 here, and I'm diving into like football and everything and basketball and everything. So.
Yeah, we're going to take an over under bet there. Text your mom that photo and ask how old you were. You were younger than 10 in that photo.
Yeah, I don't know the year. Let's see. Yeah. It's somewhere around 10.
Younger than 10. All right.
Well, so I'm on my knees for those. Like, I'm not standing up. So
well, no kidding, Matthew. I didn't think you were a foot tall. That'd be the biggest jersey of all time.
But yes. So there you
go. Okay. So when did you find out?
Yeah, somewhere around fourth just grade, now? I think. Fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, just now.
Somewhere around there. Just now.
Just now. When he's reflecting back on his Walter Payton jersey. Where is it? That jersey looked nice. Busted out for the next pod.
It is nice. Yeah, I think it's at home still somewhere.
Yeah, make sure that doesn't get thrown away. No. Dildan asked, do you think Chester's issues are fixable? DJ Chester, the center, we kind of talked about that. I've said this many times on the pod. I defer to T. Bob Hebert, who is a center in college and started at LSU and explained what DJ Chester is going through right now, which is, I don't want to mess this up. And you get in your head, you're on the road, it's loud, and it can just be rough. But you learn from it, and in year two, you make a lot fewer mistakes. So I have full faith that DJ Chester, who is a very good football player, will be just fine. So yes, I think they are fixable. Do you think Nuss's issues with decision-making in the Ole Miss and A&M games increase the chances of coming back next year? I don't think that they, like, knocked his stock off the, like, board thing. I think it just shows that there's growth that needs to be had in this game, Matty B.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, clearly, throwing interceptions and making mistakes is going to force him and force his dad and everybody to continue to evaluate him as a prospect and what he can and can't be. Like I think he's a top five quarterback in the country still. I mean, I don't think that performing at A&M did not change that for me. Part of that is because so many teams in the country are just struggling at quarterback. So it's not like the praise that I guess it was maybe last year or 2 years ago or something, but regardless, like we talked about, we'll see what he ends up doing in these last four games, and then, you know, what LSU can do in terms of as a team. If they keep winning, then his stock will go up as well.
We've only got a couple left. Let me get a quick game time read in here. Yep. I know there's not a game this week, Matty B, but the game time promo, as we continue, is on three. Here's the, as you all know, game time, number one ticketing app out there. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Your code is ON3, ON3, number three. $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code. Spell it out, ON3, when you check out, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Matty B, it's everything. It's concerts. It was events.
It was Taylor Swift last week.
Hey, I know a lot of people who were monitoring Taylor Swift up to the minute of those New Orleans shows starting on Game Time, and they said tickets were dropping and they were jumping on him. I was seeing photos of people outside the Superdome on Game Time just sitting there refreshing as the concert was about to start to get in on cheap tickets. So lowest price guarantee, 24-hour return guarantee, job loss assurance, immediate ticket delivery, no extra add-on fees whenever you get to check out. This is why people love Game Time. This is why we continue to support them, and they continue to support us, because LSU fans have been great about buying tickets. You get the panoramic view of your seat. You get the all-in pricing I mentioned. Again, Game Time. Terms apply, but download the Game Time app, create the account, use the code ON3, $20 off your first purchase. We'll run this again next week to give you the latest kind of 24, 48 hour view of Bama and what those ticket prices look like as they will come down closer to Game Time. There you go. Nice way to finish off that ad read.
There you go.
And a very, It reminds me, they good job by their marketing team on coming up with the name for the company, because it is a good one.
Yes.
Only a few left here, Matty B. I'm not going to say it, but I am. We're finishing in under an hour. Here we go.
Here we go.
First time ever. Ready? Let's do it. Germans, why is the run game so non-existent this year? Why don't we see any outside the tackle run plays or sweeps? So much concern over the run game. Your two cents here.
Yeah. I don't think, first of all, I've seen multiple outside runs where they just haven't been able to, like, on the zones, you know, you have to kind of like reach block and kind of cover a lot of ground. And to me, they just haven't been able to do that consistently. So a lot of those outside runs, I just don't think have a shot. Now, my question is, where are those Xavier Thomas runs and those plays with Xavier Thomas that we saw early in the year that were so effective? Granted, against, you know, maybe not the best competition, but I think he had one against South Carolina. Like, I think Xavier Thomas in the run game and in like the sweep game has been completely underutilized in recent weeks. Like, that type of creativity to me is more important than a lot of what they do in the run game, because even like they have the tight end coming over, they have a bunch of stuff like with motion trying to really open up the holes, and they just can't really block, you know, for sustained amount of time. So if you run an outside run play, you have to hold those blocks longer. You got to get to your block. Like, there's just a lot more that goes on than if you do run in the middle. So I think there's a lot that kind of goes into answering this question, but I think they could be more creative. I think the run game, like, the blocking has to be better. And without the blocking being better, it's hard to run those extended runs.
Well, and let's remind people, and look, we'll see if this comes to fruition. But during a bye week, what you do is you self-scout. Yeah. Why are we not doing these things correctly? What are our tendencies that we're giving away, that the defense knows something's coming? All of these things, the nuances of the game, that's what you do in a bye week before you start prepping for your next opponent. So I would think this week a large focus has been on, hey, how do we get the run game going? And we'll see. Bama's up next. And as you said, not your typical Bama D that goes out there and is just a behemoth, and even Leonard Fournette can't run on him in the Les Miles days. So I do think self-scouting this week is important in terms of these last four games. How do you get the run game going? Santana, Matty B, I love your work. Oh, he's ready to get petty. He says, hate to do it. He says, I love your work and I hate to do it because it's petty, but it's necessary. He said he asked over the summer in the mailbag pod about the 6th and 7th guys off the bench for the O-line. Said brushed off the question. Saturday night, we found ourselves going to the 7th guy with the lead in the SEC on the line. Obviously, Tyree Adams is your 6th guy. He got hurt. Mbenga came into the game. So he said his question, were you surprised it was Mbenga? I would have assumed Tyree would have been that guy had he been healthy. We were pretty experienced beyond the first 5. So really, he's just saying, were you surprised that it's Mbenga that is the guy they've chosen? Yes, they're inexperienced. They're inexperienced because they've gone 3 straight years with the same starters on the O-line minus the center. So that's a good thing. But yeah, the other part of that is that inexperience is on your bench. Surprised at Mbenga? Yes or no? I guess I lean no, because you were kind of saying Mbenga all through fall camp.
Yeah, it was always Adams and then Mbenga. I didn't think Weston Davis was ready yet. I didn't think, I mean, heck, Cohen Eccles, I didn't think was going to
play. Eccles was a center too, I think.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't even know who else it really, like, Bordelon is a tackle, clearly. So I don't think Ori Williams is ready, you know, Ethan Callaway, though, so on. So there's really no other choices here. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all that it was Mbenga, especially with Adams injured, like we said. So not really surprised at the inexperience, not surprised it was Mbenga. Now they just gotta get them ready, so we'll see.
The last two questions are the same one. They come from America 1775 and TK Morales 90. America asked, why would LSU not prep for a guy that started multiple games and won all of them for A&M? Obviously he's referencing quarterback, and as TK points out, what thoughts come to your mind when a player is so bluntly honest in a post-game interview like Greg Penn was, in saying that we didn't really prepare for Marcel Reed. We were preparing for Connor Wegman, who had started the week prior with Missouri and blown the doors off Missouri. your initial reaction, and then I'll give mine, because I think that Penn's comments were taken a little bit out of context.
Which one should I?
I don't think they didn't prepare for Marcel Reed at all. Like, and they prepared for running quarterbacks. Like, I don't think he went out there and was like, oh, Blake Baker told us this kid's never going to play, so let's only focus on Wegman.
Yeah. I guess the first part to me would be, I think that they believed that they were already prepared for Marcel Reed, which they were.
Yeah, they played Marcel Reed types.
They've played Lenoris Sellers. They've played Jackson Dart, who can keep a lot of stuff. You know, they've played enough running quarterback. I mean, they played Gio Lopez from South Alabama. Yeah. They played Taylen Green from Arkansas. So
there you go. Played
rushing. I mean, heck, Nichols as well. So anyways, they've played rushing quarterbacks. So I think there was an emphasis, first of all, to prepare for the starting quarterback, because if the starting quarterback plays well at all, he's going to stay in the game. So you did your job there. Then you get to the backup quarterback. And I think you believe at that point, we have faced so many running quarterbacks and we've prepared for them week after week after week. We should be able to guard a read option or I forgot what the other play that Brian Kelly said that they ran, but like it was two plays. Like you should be able to execute and stop those. And they couldn't. Personally, I think from A&M's perspective, Marcel Reed should always be the starter because that guy's not just quick. Like he is fast and elusive. Like he is a game.
Reason Wegman started because he blew out Missouri the week prior.
Yeah. So again, I don't know why that even is a discussion personally, but regardless, I think Marcel Reed is really good. I think the run blocking was really good and LSU, they were prepared, but I do think they were partially caught off guard and having to make that change mid game. So I don't think, like Brian Kelly said, I don't think that's coaching as much as the players having to make that mental shift during the game. Now, I don't know. I think they should have maybe prepared like more, but like I don't think it was like an egregious statement to be like, yeah, we weren't expecting.
We prepared for the starter. Like,
yeah.
And then we did so good at preparing for the starter that he had five completions or whatever in the middle of the third quarter for 10 yards and he got yanked. Like they did so well at preparing for him that it kind of backfires and he gets pulled from the game and here comes your running quarterback. And it's such a change of pace that they didn't do anything special.
No,
that LSU hasn't faced already this year with running quarterbacks at all.
Yeah.
They just couldn't stop it.
Honestly, that they might've done too good. Try to keep.
They did. That's what I said. They should have let Wegman play a little bit better and you win that game.
Yeah, seriously, just let him like complete one like 20 yard pass down the field, like, hey, I don't know, he got something here,
give him a touchdown,
just like seriously. Let it be
a little, yeah,
right. Connor well, was not get, doing
guess anything. What simultaneously the offense put up 17 points.
Yeah, the first half from the offense, first of all, was unacceptable, and then the second half against for the offense was also unacceptable.
I care way less about Greg Penn's comments and about how successful they were stopping Wegman for 2.5 quarters than the offense allowing that game to be where it was with 8 minutes left.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking over at our costumes thread, and we got some people posting their kids in there. Oh, this is great. And then
there we go.
Big Mamu's in there with his, he says he's a Sasquatch every year. Terrific, terrific content here. So post y'all.
Head to the board. Post your costumes.
There it is. Shay will post his later tonight. He told me.
Yeah, I'll find one. Don't worry.
There you go. But yeah, that's it. That's all we got.
We're still a week away. No football. LSU cannot lose this weekend. There you go.
Good news. So enjoy all the other games. I've been so swamped. I haven't even looked at the rest of the slate this week, honestly. So anyways, yeah, thank you for tuning in. Leave us a like, comment, share, subscribe. Subscribe to the Bengal Tiger on 3 if you have not already, or at the very least subscribe to our YouTube channel. I think we're close to 7K, so get us over there, send it to a friend. We appreciate all of y'all's support. Thank you to everybody who sent in your mailbag questions. We'll be back. Shay and Billy will have a recruiting pod, and then we'll be back next week with Bama Week. So
let's do it.
Stay tuned.
One loss SEC team, LSU, baby. Let's see what happens. This is going to be a fun finish, I'm telling you, for everybody. If you love college football, Anyone who told you this 12-team expanded playoffs would make these games meaningless was wrong. These are fun.
Yeah, this is – because think about – sorry, I'm not putting us over an hour. All I'm going to say is think about where we'd be if there was a 4-team playoff. It'd be like, okay, well, you know, hopefully you beat Bama, but it doesn't have any implications except for maybe on the SEC title race, right? That would be the goal at this point. And even then, like, you'd need to go perfect because you already have two losses to make the 4-team playoff. 12-team playoff, now this is almost a de facto elimination game. So a lot more stakes in this one with a 12-team playoff than if it was only four. So anyways, I'll leave y'all with that. We'll be back. Thank y'all for joining us. We will talk to y'all later.